On the show today, we have Rate Reset's Joe Brancucci joining us, talking about life after GT Financial and leading the award-winning Rate Reset into 2017. So check it out. Good to see you again. Good to see you. You're back in the saddle here in the credit union industry. Well done.
Yeah, they can't keep me down. Still too vital.
There you go. So, hey, you know, we're going to talk about your life after GTE Financial and your new position now at Rate Reset. I mean, just before we dive in a little bit deeper, tell us about your latest career move at Rate Reset and, you know, why you decided to join this organization after GTE Financial.
Well, I spent, obviously, 25 years in the credit union industry, 40 in lending, and I spent a lot of that time working on front-end enhancements for the member experience, getting the member into a home loan, getting the member, I founded Prime Alliance, getting a member into, you know, automobile loans, personal loans, whatever, very easily. But we kind of never really looked at the back end, and we kind of stuck in 1985. And it was an opportunity for me to do two things. One is when I retired, everyone wanted me to go and be a consultant. Mm-hmm. You know, you've had all this experience in credit unions, you've built these great teams that created these incredible lending shops. Why don't you go in consulting? And I was like, oh, that's interesting, but no, not really. And so Rate Reset is a company that I've been on the advisory board for probably 4+ years.
Oh, wow.
At GT, we were the initial users of both Mortgage Harmony, and which was now the Mortgage Rate Reset, and we were the actual stimulus for creating Auto Rate Reset, because I can still remember a strategic meeting with them saying, it's nice to look at mortgage loans, but credit unions have a hell of a lot of automobile loans.
No doubt.
And things have changed. So I think that would be a great product, and it has turned out to be a great product.
Yeah. Award-winning product.
yeah. And we have a whole slew of products that we'll talk briefly about today around totally redefining the member experience after the loan is put on the books. You know, it's not one and done. We hope the payments get made on time. We, you know, wait for the payoff figure. What's going on in the life of the member? And things have changed. You know, when you look at the landscape of lending over my long career, you see things that have minor changes that people kind of just take for granted. You know, the average loan, automobile loan, used to be 36 to 48 months. Now it's somewhere between 60 and 72 months. Mm-hmm. You know, a mortgage loan in the old days, the person stayed in the house forever. Things didn't really change. But today, lots of things happen. So what happens after the loan closes? You've got a loan that was designed for the member's life as it existed the day of closing, but has no flexibility as the member moves forward, changes. Mm-hmm. You know, they get married, they have kids, you know, they get sick, something happens, the kids go to school. Things change in their financial health. Yet the only mechanism we have in place to fix that is member comes in, says they have a problem, and we say, we'll refinance the loan, or we'll put you through the same process we did before, or we'll do something else that makes it very, you know, I call it the American Ninja Warrior, you know, obstacle course to get anything done after the loan is closed.
Yeah.
And so Rate Reset is really focused on changing that. And it's had some incredible successes with the Automobile Rate Reset program, and more recently with adjustable rates. A lot of credit unions have 3-1s, 5-1s, 7-1s, 5-5s, 2-2, whatever it may be. Mm-hmm. And Pentagon was the pilot. And Pentagon's pilot was, I have all these 5-5s, and the new regulations on the first adjustment require us to notify the borrower 10 months before the adjustment as to what possibly may happen at that adjustment.
Yeah.
And they were finding, when they sent that notice out, within a few months, the loans were getting refinanced away from PenFed.
Oh, wow.
Because the member was afraid of the change, didn't, you know, and it gave too much comfort to them. So they asked us to create a solution. And that solution we created was an ability for them to go out at 10 months and offer the member a very simple modification for the next 5 years with a simple click, a modification agreement that's electronically signed, and it's done. And 73% of the actual offers that were sent out were executed on. Oh. And so the members have executed for another 5 years, and anywhere from 5 years, 10 months to 5 years, 5 years, because it depends on what they did in that period of time.
Right.
And that's an incredible success. I mean, any marketing activity is, you know, maybe 1-2% if you're really good, but 73% is incredible. And so we went to the credit unions and said, you have 3-1s, 5-1s, 7-1s, 10-1s. Nothing's really changed since you priced them originally, but yet you want the member to go through a refinance to do something with it. Mm-hmm. And they have this fear of this 1 year adjustable with, you know, the market is weird, Brexit makes it difficult, the president, whatever it may be.
Mm-hmm.
why not give them another 3-year fixed period, another 5-year fixed period, another 7, whatever it is. You would originate that loan to him today or her today. Mm-hmm. Why not do it? And we create a solution where it's a simple, present the offer, the member accepts it, they understand what it means, they sign the document, the loan's modified, and it's one and done. And that to me is really exciting. It changes the entire dynamic of the mortgage loan. So that's kind of the reason. It's something different. It's something I think it's going to revolutionize the way we look at loans after they're closed. And really, it's going to change the way credit union loans are perceived in the marketplace. Today, I think they're ubiquitous. An automobile loan from B of A or from security service credit union or from BECU or from, Fifth Third Bank, they all are really ubiquitous. It's an automobile loan, they have a certain term, whatever. The rates are the only thing that really changes. Right. Mm-hmm. What if you change the experience after the fact and make it something else? Mm-hmm. That to me is what's really cool.
Giving them an option. I like that. I like that. This is cool stuff. So what are your, what are your immediate and long-term goals for Leading Rate Reset with these new and differentiating products?
You just disappeared.
Oh, there you are. You're back.
No idea what happened, but you
that was a little frozen, little Skype freeze there. I call it not brain freeze, but Skype freeze. So I'll ask you the question. So what are your immediate and long term goals for Leading Rate Reset? You mentioned these cool differentiator kind of product services that put credit unions more in a relevant position.
So right now, the first 3 months before I took the job, I was consulting for them. When I helped them put together the CUSO. The CUSO is CU Rate Reset. Mm-hmm. PenFed is one of the largest investors in it, as are some other credit unions and credit union associations. And it's fully subscribed. So we're well capitalized at this point. What the next phase is getting credit unions who are on it to expand those relationships, understand the new products and services. Mm-hmm. When I started, we had Auto Rate Reset and Mortgage Rate Reset, and we just had launched Loan Gen. And now we have a whole bunch of other things that are kind of cool. That's just, nature of my beast is that. Going to change, and they're going to change for the better as we see things going on. But we're working with some very large credit unions right now who have either a single problem or multiple problems. They have automobile portfolios that are prepaying very much against what they should look like. But folks don't quite look at the fact that automobile loans, if they came in directly, well, that's fine. You just do a FAS 91 for the expenses. But if they come in via a dealer network, you've got a FAS 91 expense that you're amortizing for the dealer fee. Mm-hmm. If they prepay quickly, that all of a sudden is a current hit to income. And so it would be cool if you could actually extend those loans. And that would be really neat. And so I'll give you an example of a small credit union. America's Credit Union in Washington State went live last week on our simple process, which is a non-integrated, it's kind of a I can explain in detail, but I won't at this point. If someone wants information, they can call me. But it gives them the ability within 5-7 days to bring up a solution. They sent out the solution a week ago, and they've already had almost 100 resets.
What?
Yes.
Wow.
So those are loans that would have probably gone elsewhere, or the worst case, and this has come up in every site I've gone into, they would have refinanced within the branch system for the exact same loan, just to extend the term or whatever it is, or to get a little cash out. And so now we give them a solution that allows them to, if they want to, say, your loan is, whatever percentage interest rate. You don't really look at interest rate anyway. Here's your monthly payment. Here's how much you owe. We'll let you extend the term, and here's what the new interest rate is. And if you want more cash out, here's a range of cash out you can have. And if you want it, you sign a simple modification or you sign a new loan doc in the system, execute it, and your loan is taken care of. Those resets are really important. Yeah. You take, GTE has done over 1,600. PenFed is at 1,700. State Employees Credit Union is around 1,000. Coastal, which has only been up 2 months, is breaking 800 resets. And you have to think about what that means. They've increased, for the most part, their yield by somewhere between 35 and 50 basis points. The average is around 42. Mm-hmm. The other interesting thing is the member service perception that member has. Their net promoter scores in those particular loans are slightly higher than the rest of the portfolio because they were able to do something. And a third kind of a fallout of it, or a good fallout, is that you had an indirect member. No, you had an indirect loan that became a member. They never really were a member. It's a loan with a member rather than a member with a loan.
Gotcha.
And by giving them something cool that the credit union gives them to do, here, I'm giving you the ability to re-rate reset your loan. And it elevates and begins a dialogue where they say, wait, there is something different. It's not just an automobile loan I got from the dealership. There's a credit union attached, and that credit union is pretty cool because they allow us to do these kind of things. Mm-hmm. And within our thank you page, when that thing is executed, there are icons for allowing them to transfer their credit cards and other and sundry things or other products.
I like that too.
As well as signing up for online banking if they weren't already signed up for it. So starting to incorporate kind of a member relationship extension activity. Mm-hmm. To can increase that relationship dramatically. And that to me is really exciting because we've never been able to figure out how to get indirect loans to become members.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're the asset in the books, but we never understand how to make them make a member. And we're starting to see success there. So that is pretty cool.
Gosh.
So this is, so we're in existence or we're in process. The newest product I think is I love it. It's the coolest thing. I was with a very large credit union and they said, if you take Rate Reset and what it does and how it looks and the technology, and you take LoanGen and you put it together, and we give you a group of pre-approved credit cards or pre-approved home equity loans or pre-approved whatever, mm-hmm. we do the same process. You get this individualized pearl, we call it a personalized URL, that we can send out to that member. They can immediately do whatever they want to execute the loan. They wouldn't have to call us, come into a branch, do any of those other things that are obstacles. They get the message, either email or snail mail, mm-hmm. they do immediately, and it's transacted immediately, which gets rid of that leakage that occurs between the time they get something to do and, you know, the kid started screaming, so it gets put down, or you know, whatever it is. You know, the dog ran out of the door, and it doesn't get taken care of immediately. But if it's immediate, they do it, and all of a sudden you have a new credit card mm-hmm. or a new automobile loan that you transfer from somebody else.
Oh, gosh, Joe.
And those two, that's wow. a new tool, and that's in pilot right now. And the test marketing we've done on it, you know, what do you think of this thing, has been incredible. It's like, whoa, this is the coolest thing since sliced bread. Mm-hmm. And we're working with some other companies. One of my other roles right now is to create partnerships, and we work with Ally Solutions. We're real thrilled with that partnership.
Good folks there. Mm-hmm.
And you know, we're looking at a partnership with Cuddle and Intuvo, mm-hmm. and we're also looking at a partnership with Radian and their trigger company. If you think about this, if you put all of the stuff together, you have the ability to trigger. So if something's going on in the member's life, there's a credit report pulled from Capital One or whatever it may be.
Right.
You have balances and there's a certain balance. You see there's a lot of activity, whatever it is. You create a actual pre-approval, and then you have these marketing programs around it. And so you use our URL and multiple marketing programs mm-hmm. to get them done all virtually, so you're not taking up staff time, nor are you losing them through the cracks. And so I think you're going to see Rate Reset really redefine the after sale. And that's really what I want to see us do. I want us to have that improved member relationship and keep the portfolio intact. We tend to take it for granted. Mm-hmm. We tend to take it for granted. And that's, you know, I've been in this for a very long time with very great credit unions and very good banks and other and sundry companies. We always take the loan on the books for granted. It's mm-hmm. there. As long as they're paying, we don't care about it.
Right,
but
right.
We're associated with that. What's going on in their life and how it can make it easier. So that's kind of... Why the excitement? I don't have any passion, in case you haven't noticed.
Not at all. I'm not reading that at all, Joe. My goodness. Because, I mean, you mentioned the after sale, and that's where you solidify the relationship, whether it's in the retail industry, whether it's in credit unions or wherever. That's where you solidify that relationship. I mean, so.
And even the thank you letter, even thank you letter is McDonald's.
And
you know,
yes.
We got some fries with that hamburger. So
exactly.
You just had a great experience with the automobile loan or whatever it is. Would you like a credit card?
Mm-hmm.
You can do with that. And so it's kind of putting everything the credit unions do. They all do it. We all do it, but we do them individually. We don't look at it as a holistic approach to mm-hmm. that member. And how does those things make that member feel and what's going on in their lives? We have plenty of information. We have big data up the kazoo, but we don't do anything with it.
Right, right.
You know, what do you want to do with it? And big data is great for triggering. I mean, you can actually use it as a mechanism to kind of figure out what a valid trigger is for an individual, because your triggers are different than my triggers.
Right.
And so when you can get to the point where you can create individualized marketing, and I heard that term used over the last decade, and you know, you can do all of this thing, you have omni-channel solutions or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
The real reality is most millennials, if they can't click it, they won't do it. And very honestly, a bunch of us older folks, and
I'm getting the same way.
if you ask me to go to a branch or to call on the call center, I'll say I'll find another way of doing it.
Yep.
Or I'll find someone where I can do it that way.
Mm-hmm. Same and, exact way. So, I mean, so how has your previous, I mean, you kind of alluded to it in your last response, but how has your previous credit union leadership experience benefiting you in this position? Obviously, you have an incredible network of professionals that you've been, and peers that you've been in, associated with for many, many years now. I see that as clear as day, but how else has your previous experience helped you here?
It's a great question. And what's really different is that I don't sell things. I'm not a salesman, never happened. But I will help a credit union. They're basically getting free consulting. I mean, I did a couple of consulting gigs in this 3-month period when I was doing retirement. They paid me a lot of money and then didn't do anything with it anyway. So they're getting a free consulting gig because I actually, before I go out to a credit union, I actually ask them a series of questions, including what they're trying to accomplish and how they define success. And then I create basically a consulting solution set for them of those things. And even if it's something outside, that's not within our realm, we need to increase our automobile production, not doing any direct loans, I'll refer them to Cuddle or one of the others right. that are in the marketplace. So they're getting a different approach. And for me, that gives me the ability to feel like I'm doing a benefit to the other credit unions where I have had the privilege of having an incredible number of experiences, good and bad, but a number of experiences that I can actually help them improve what they're doing. Most credit unions really get it. They just don't know how to do it.
Right.
And just giving them a simple approach to it and getting over the obstacles they think exist seems to be working. Mm-hmm. And I think at this time next year, right now Rate Reset is an award-winning solution, blah, blah, blah. I think next year you're going to see the story unfold about what it did to improve credit unions and the relationship that they have their members and differentiate them in their marketplaces.
Yeah.
And I think when you see some of the credit unions that are going to come on in the next 3 to 4 months that we're in deep negotiations with, nice. I think you're going to see a very large tipping point. PenFed obviously is the kind of the gold standard. I mean, it's a very large credit union, has to deal with the CFPB. It has, it's known for very low expenses and high returns, and it is what it is. Mm-hmm. And I have an incredible organization I've always respected. Not only are they the largest customer, but they're the largest investor, and they absolutely believe this product will help the rest of the industry. And so, with that kind of support, and State Employees Credit Union in Maryland, Coastal yeah. Credit Union in North Carolina, GTE and Baxter. Just to name a few, they're already on board. They're already doing it today successfully. So when you start adding what I will say will be the kind of the tipping credit unions in the in the nation
yeah.
onto it, it becomes something that's an easy, almost non-obstacle entry solution. They can be as easy as they want or they can get as complex as they want.
Mm-hmm.
But we can actually set a roadmap for them over the 6, 12, 18, 24, 36 months on how to go from starting it and doing base hits to playing the World Series.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
I think that's kind of, again, what do they want to do? What do they need to accomplish immediately and how they can do it? So I think we're going to have a lot of success with that. Next year, probably expanding staff, obviously, to find those folks that have a lot of experience in lending
mm-hmm.
and will be able to take this consultative approach to make our clients more successful, because that's really the only purpose. We don't, we don't process loans, we don't underwrite loans. So how do we facilitate doing the things they do in a much more efficient manner?
Mm-hmm. Indeed. Wow. Sounds like 2017 is going to be a mighty exciting year for you guys, and sounds like it's going to be another one, good one for credit unions. And speaking of that, I mean, there continues to be a lot of talk about credit union relevance today. Every conference I went to this past year is like the R word was cropping. How do we stay relevant? What do we do to stay relevant? Adding technologies like Rate Reset certainly helps them toward that goal. What else can credit unions do today to enhance their relevancy to become that trusted primary financial resource? I mean, you've been there, done that. I'm anxious to hear what you would have to say here.
There's a couple of things you have to understand going on in the marketplace. During the recession, well, we were all worried about our delinquent loans and kind of hunkering down and not making loans because we were scared of our own shadows. The fintechs got incredible amount of venture capital dollars. And, there's a couple of them that are scary to me. The P2P ones, person-to-person lending. If you think about what a credit union was in 1935, I'll use BECU as an example. The Boeing machinist formed the credit union so that new machinists could buy, they could lend money out to the new machinists coming in so they could buy tools so they could start their family.
Right.
That's P2P lending at its most, you know, if you were delinquent and I was
granular, yeah,
go after you down the, you know, the plant and get the loan collected. That's really very intimate P2P. But over time, the 250,000 members at a credit union have no idea who their deposits are being lent to. They know it's someone at the credit union. P2P is kind of making that intimacy there again. And that may be something we're going to have to figure out how to emulate going forward. I don't think that's a 2017 thing, but we can't be blind to it and say it doesn't exist and it's going to go away, because it isn't going to go away. If you look at the numbers of some of those companies and the amount of loans they're doing every month, they're getting to be very, very significant. They're much larger than credit unions, any specific credit union. So that to me is a scary thing, because once it becomes the way it goes, it will be, you know, ask Blockbuster. Well, and that's the reality of, you know, ask the, you know, flip phone or whatever it may be. If you don't look at what's coming in front of you and start adjusting, you're not going to be successful. Mm-hmm. We actually think that some of the things we're doing and we would like to do in the future will create a level of intimacy with the member. Mm-hmm. And whether or not we can do anything on the deposit side becomes a big question. Is can you, you know, is there a way of doing that, or can you tell the stories? Van City up in Vancouver, it's very interesting if you want to go online. Look at their annual report. Their annual report is a video, and it talks about the things that they do in terms of people and stuff and whatever else. So they're trying to create this and what they do in their community. So they're saying, this is what your deposits, your relationship does into the credit union. So they're trying to create a level of intimacy with those members that's, you know, you can't have a one-on-one. My money is going to be lent to you. Mm-hmm. Can say, though, here's what we do and here's the kind of things our lending processes do in it, you know, whatever it may be. Mm-hmm. You know, got so many people into homes that did this much low income, whatever it may be, and that gives them a level of attachment to what we're doing. Mm-hmm. I don't think credit unions are doing that very well right now. I think that's one thing we need to do as an industry. Okay. If we get too caught up on margins and return and collections and paperwork and whatever else, the product becomes the process and there are no people involved. Mm-hmm. And you take out of our products, the minute you take people out of our products, we're ubiquitous. We're just like
exactly. You become everybody else. Yep, indeed. And you mentioned 2017. I mean, how do you see it shaping up? Because I mean, obviously, lending may plateau, especially auto lending. That's what the talk is. And then there's obviously more outside disruption with outside technologies, the continued regulation overload. What do you see coming up in 2017?
Well, I think a lot's going to hinge on what happens the first week in November.
yeah, true.
You know, and regardless of which side you're on, there's going to be a fallout in some way. Mm-hmm. I think Brexit, we don't know what's going to happen with that and whether it's going to sustain these low interest rates for another 2, 3, 5 years. Who knows? Mm-hmm. I think that automobile lending will slow down. I think that used car lending may increase, though, because there are – interesting enough, millennials they really don't do things really quickly. You know, they're still at home with mother and father, and they're driving the mother or father's car. You know, but as they get into that little older age now, they're starting to buy things. Don't expect them to be buying BMWs. They're more likely to buy a Kia Soul or something that's inexpensive, dependable, and not fancy. We got to figure out how to lend differently, because millennials, for example, they will borrow. They have a lot of borrowings for student loans, but they will borrow for adventures rather than borrow for a car.
Oh, okay. So, they're experience-driven folks.
Right. So, again, are your credit cards designed to reward adventure spending?
Ah.
You know, as you get into the Xers and Ys and the boomers, you know, there is the personal improvement finances.
You know, I'm right there.
You know, whether it's, you know, hair plugs, butt lifts, whatever enhancements they do, bariatric surgery, those are big ticket items.
Yeah.
Someone else is getting those loans, which means members are getting a loan elsewhere. Why don't we get them? Mm-hmm. And then you get to, interesting enough, the boomers who haven't really done a great job of planning for retirement. And, you know, they took all their equity out of the house in 2006, thinking it was going to go back up, and it's back to 2006. There's no equity in the house. Yeah. And so they're going to have some challenges. You know, the average boomer carries an $8,600 credit card balance.
Wow.
I did some research. I was doing a speech for the Georgia League, and I was astonished. You know, 63% of them have a mortgage yet. You know, and yet, you know, they don't have any, they have very small retirement savings. and how's that going to get them through the next 30 years?
Exactly. And with length of life, extending, people living in their 90s and stuff now, my goodness.
And speaking of those folks, so we're almost on a decade of low interest rates. Their certificates and their investments are not producing income at the level that they had anticipated.
Yeah, you're right. Mm-hmm.
So what's happening is if they're still in their house, they don't have the funds to fix the house and keep it up. And we're seeing a lot of folks that pass away and the houses are absolute disasters. Mm-hmm. They because the maintenance that needed to be done has been too, it's just never done. It's deferred forever. So maybe reverse annuity mortgages are going to become more popular. It was nice to leave Johnny some money when I die, but the reality is, this is Gray's garden and it's raining on my head every night. So maybe I need to do something about it. So again, changing the way we look at the marketplace and saying not all products are for somebody. But every product there's a person for it, and can we do better than others? And when we really help our members improve the quality of their lives, I believe credit unions win.
Yeah,
I think when we think about improving our bottom line, we lose. If that's the only driver is bottom line, you're going to always lose. And so that's a personal philosophy, and it's served me well for the last 25 years in credit unions, and I'm not going to kind of sway from that now unless somebody can.
A ton of truth to that. So, gosh, I could talk to about this stuff all day, Joe. But I just want to say thank you for taking time out today to chat with us. I mean, congratulations on hanging out there with Rate Reset and the success you guys are already experiencing and the credit unions that you're already helping out. I mean, it sounds like this wave is going to continue in 2017. So well done on that. And I just love talking about future stuff and what's going on with the credit union with you. I mean, this is just it's a pleasure. So I appreciate you and congrats on getting back in the saddle again. We're happy to have you back.
Well, thank you, and see you, Rate Reset, because we do use the see you. It's a CUSO now. I believe you'll hear about not only the differences making the individual credit unions, but the way the credit union industry thinks, as we did in 2000 with Prime Alliance, and the credit union started thinking differently about mortgages. Where we are today. I'm not saying it was a stimulus. It was a stimulus. It wasn't the all-in solution, but the stimulus of talking about really looking at this member relationship and really expanding our vision of it, reimagining what could actually be possible with it. I think that's really important. I think, it's going to be an exciting time in the next year. And, I'm still gung-ho. And when I lose that's when I will really retire.
Okay. You'll do it for real.
And thank you for your time. And hopefully we can do this again.
After the sale, it's all important. After the sale, solidifies that membership, that relationship. All right, Joe, thanks again. Appreciate the time. And let's do this again.
Sounds great.
Okay, thank you.